Orazio is a ladies' man. So when when Orazio approaches a woman, okay, and that woman knows she's interested in him, she's gonna hear him out, see what he has to say, make sure he doesn't say anything stupid, eventually give him her number. She's not gonna see Rizzi, knows she's interested in him. He approaches her in a respectful way and she says, no, 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 and walks off, and like in some movie, say, man, I hope he tries again, I hope he tries again.
What up, what up, what up, what up? It's Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. I'm Tavares Ferguson, joined my co-host Buff and Rizzi. Fellas, tell them what's on your mind.
Have you gentlemen heard who will be performing at this year's Super Bowl halftime?
Mr. Take Your Girl?
That boy just keep winning, don't he?
He should bring Kiki out.
That would be
petty. All
dude, that song they made together. I'm loving it.
we had that conversation about King of R&B, and I know The Weeknd's name got thrown into it. So he's done his halftime Super Bowl performance. So we would have something to really compare these two. I know The Weeknd is doing his thing as far as Rizzi, you mentioned what Beyonce just passed him as far as tour money, but he's still up there. So, but Usher's doing his thing in Vegas. He's killing it. He's been extended with like 4 or 5 times. Like every time it's like, this is the last show. He's like, nah, we had some more shows. Mm-hmm. So we get to compare these two performances and see. I think he has an opportunity to kill it. Whatever he does, I don't know what song list he's going to pick, but he's got to either start or end his set with Yeah. Because is that his biggest song with Lil Jon?
Yeah,
that's probably.
And he gotta have Lil Jon come out too. You
Confessions.
Like, gotta have Lil Jon come out, man.
Yeah.
Oh man, I just feel like he's gonna outperform The Weeknd. I've never really watched a Weeknd performance,
and I didn't hear a lot of talk about it either.
You know, like I feel like, you know.
But The Weeknd had just had that surgery or whatever after that too, though. So he couldn't do a whole lot with his face. Wasn't that like right before he had that face surgery?
I'm just saying as a whole, like is The Weeknd a dancer? Like is he a hell of a performer? I don't know. You know,
he makes good music. I don't think he is a dancer, is he?
Yeah.
Nah, he's more of a, you know, work the stage tank type thing. Like. He's gonna get a little moves in there, but he's not Usher or Chris Brown, anybody that's like really, really working the stage. So we'll see. It's gonna be cool. That all you got?
That's all I got, man. Yeah, that's all I got, man. I thought that was that's cool. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Let's see. I got a whole bunch. Have y'all heard about, are y'all getting this new Toyota that's coming out? It's called the Century. Have y'all heard about that? Not a joke. It's like for real. They say they're going after Bentley and Rolls Royce. $170,000 for a Toyota. Yeah.
How much?
$170,000 will be the starting part price point for it.
So, why didn't they just make it a Lexus?
I think Toyota wants a high end brand. I don't know. Like the days of having
high end brand.
Yeah, I know, but it's like the days of having those striated, like, hey. You do the what was it? Used to be like the GM and then the Ford. And it was like the same thing, but different levels. They don't really do that anymore. Like every company wants to have every level now. And so,
I gotcha.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I want to see it, though. I want to see how it drives. Maybe they can get into that very high-end market.
I'm going to say no because I can't afford it, but I'm not going to say no because Toyota makes a fairly good vehicle from all the reviews I've heard over the year. So,
well, this is not the first release of the Century.
Oh, have they already?
It's been discontinued before.
Hmm. In the US?
Been discontinued or before.
Like worldwide?
maybe worldwide.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see them trying to do that in like Japan or in China or something like that, where they have a really big foothold. But yeah, they're introducing it here in the US too. So
it's the Toyota Century SUV 2024,
$170,000. Yep. So kind of crazy.
Buff, you should get one.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you know you got it. So
I actually don't have it. There's that. So, you know, even if it was half that price, I don't think I got it.
I don't think I got it.
I don't think. that's a subtle flex. Anyway.
Maybe. But had to move something around.
Yeah. Speaking of shows out there, I don't know if you guys heard, but one of our favorite shows, the Winning Time. So the story of the LA Lakers, mm-hmm, and all of that, that got canceled. So if you haven't seen the second season, go watch that. It's the last one, unfortunately. But it was a good series while it lasted, man. So check that out. And for all the black, like, goth kids out there, the vampire lovers and everything like that, Castlevania, the new season is called Castlevania Nocturne, and it's all about black vampires. So kind of dope premise to it. So if you're into vampires and you're into, you know, you Wakanda forever, go check that out, because the Castlevania anime series is actually really, really awesome. It's not even, it's technically not anime. It's just animated. It's on Netflix. Check it out. It's really, really good. The first 2-3 seasons, whatever they had. And everybody's kind of really excited for the new season that's coming out. Can't go wrong with the black vampires. They had a couple black vampires in the first one, so it's not like foreign or whatever, but this one's going to be like super duper dope. So go check that out, man. That's all I got.
Coach Prime is no longer undefeated. We are recording this segment Sunday night, September 24th, the day after Deion has his first loss in the regular season for the Colorado Buffaloes. And that was a hard game to watch. Mm. I was just hoping Shador didn't get hurt. Like, they were tagging him the whole game.
Yep.
But, you know, everybody loses, you know, so I tried not to make it too big of a deal out of it. I just, as normal, there's always a whole side story to everything when it comes to black greatness, I guess. There's this new dialogue about him needing to be humbled. And Buff, you're looking up like you haven't heard anybody talk about that, or?
No, I've heard it, but there is no humbling Deion. Like, have y'all seen his career?
Yeah. And the thing about it, he pushes back, just like, you know, why are y'all trying, almost like, why are you trying to humble me? Like, does my confidence, I forgot how he said it, but his confidence irks their insecurities. Yeah. Like, that's, you know, it's like, I'll find the quote, but that's what it is. You know, he's like, I'm coming out here, I'm not saying anything, I'm not being rude, I'm just me. I'm who I am. And so, you know, y'all want the kid to lose because you hate me. It's not gonna beat the team, it's gonna beat Deion. Mm-hmm.
It's so many hating narratives around him. I mean, not just the, like you say, don't go beat Deion, don't beat the kids, go beat Deion, but they also talk about how it's Deion's team and Deion, and they don't talk about Colorado as a team anymore and everything, but they don't ever mention that when they talk about Saban. When they, you know, I mean, we talk about Nick Saban as Nick Saban is Alabama football. It's the same thing. I mean, he is the personality that's drawing everything in. He's the one that's bringing everybody to make sure that they watch Colorado and everything like that. He's doing what he's supposed to do as a coach to get eyes on that program, and he's teaching those boys. So I mean, he has to go out, he has to recruit. He took out of the portal and he went and got skilled players. We already saw from the first 3 games that their defense wasn't super up to par and their lines weren't strong. Yeah. And so we knew coming
that
in
line, that old
but,
line is...
yeah, that's, but he's also been recruiting. You guys have you heard Warren Sapp's coming on the coaching staff next year?
Mm-hmm.
He's announced that. So he has a plan to fix that. And after the loss, his interview, he said, come at me now, because this is the weakest that we're ever going to be. And so he knows and has his vision. He knows that he's not at the pinnacle of what they're going to be. He probably came in knowing they're not going to win the national championship this year. So this idea that everybody kind of put on his back that, oh, go out and he's going to win it all. I mean, I don't think he had that expectation. He wanted it, right? He had that dream. He had that vision. He has that drive to do it. But I know he had to be realistic thinking that we're not going to get the national title this year. So if we can go 50-50, right? What is it? 6-6, win 6 games so that we can get to bowl eligible. We're good. I think that's all he's really worried about right now is that. And it's one game. Every Sunday, you're just trying to go 1-0. That's it. So, or every Saturday, I guess. Every Saturday, mm-hmm. you're trying to go 1-0. And that's what he's going to do. So Oregon was a better team. We saw it. But I'm still rocking with them because it's still Wakanda forever for me.
We knew it. Because they're probably going to lose like that again next week mm-hmm. against USC, to be honest. And especially with, I think some people, even the most strident Deion fans probably thought Colorado had a chance against Oregon before Travis Hunter got hurt. Then once he got injured, like you knew with Deion the shadow of a doubt, they wasn't going to win. But I mean, if you're a Coach Prime fan, you watched in hope that an upset could be pulled off. But hey, my Florida State Seminoles won. And listen, we ain't beat Clemson in 10 years. Okay? So I was extremely happy about that. Extremely. Finally beat them losers.
Yeah. Oh, and go Blazers. We scored 3 touchdowns against number 1 ranked Georgia on yesterday. So
was it 3?
3.
Only
yeah,
saw 2
yeah.
y'all scored 3?
Yeah, 3 times. 21.
Whoa.
Yeah. We're good.
What was the final score?
It was 49-21. So everybody's like, ooh, that's a blowout. I'm like, it is. But hey, I mean, an unranked team versus the number 1 seed first year with our new coach, I'm good with what we did. I mean, that they showed up. They didn't give up. They had a little dog in them. That's what we needed to see. And that's what, I'm also looking at, we're not in the SEC. We're in the AAC. And so we're going to do what we need to do in the AAC. And I feel comfortable in the conference that we're in, that we're straight. So I'm happy. My bad, Ferg. We stole your Colorado
conversation. No, you're good. No, I just wanted to put that out there in the atmosphere about Deion and, you know, the whole need to be humbled. You know, a lot of people, of course, made it racial. Yeah. You know, the racial aspect, you know, they want the, you know, he got out of line and Massa wanted him back in place. And, you know, that's not how a coach is supposed to act and all that stuff. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I would love to see him in a bowl game. I'm excited for the future of his career, especially if he can take that and make something out of it in the next couple of seasons.
He's already underpaid. Like in the first, 2 games, I think he's generated $90 million for that area.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
he's already underpaid.
And that's what's crazy is they're talking about, you know, this is what coaches are supposed to be a certain way, but the game is changing, right? One, like Ryza said, Nick Saban's always been bigger than Alabama. So when the coach is bigger than the team, you know, nobody had a problem then. But he's changing, you know, with the NIL deals, with the ability to negotiate contracts and get revenue dollars and put the team on the map. College football is becoming more entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
And truthfully, I think the flashiness of it all, it really shows white coaches are scared. Because a lot of them don't have that. And so they can't just go in and be like, oh, I'm going to grind it out and we're going to be a good team and think they're going to go and get these NIL deals and all that stuff. They're looking at, oh, I need that now. And so it's going to be a new era of coaches that come out and they're going to have to be different. They're not going to be those old school coaches that you saw for the last 30, 40 years. And they're scared.
You can't have a 75-year-old coach, you know, but we'll see. Riza, is Sophie asleep?
She is not. She's running around with Haley. They're cooking. Haley's like meal prepping, so she got a real job. It's hilarious. So she works like 4 days a week, and so she was like, "I be so tired," and this, that, and other. I'm like, "So po baby, hold on, let me go."
She be tired.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello.
Hey, yeah. What's going on, man?
Greetings, hello. Sophia.
Greetings.
Hello, how's it going?
Very well, very well.
I'm loving your braids.
Thank you.
Who did them, Daddy?
No.
Or did you go out? Did you?
We went out.
Did you go to Huntsville or something again? Like,
I went to where did I?
Tuscaloosa.
Go? Tuscaloosa.
Tuscaloosa.
I knew it started with T.
You got flued out to get your hair done.
It was a drive. Haley drove me.
Oh, you got chauffeured to Tuscaloosa?
Yes. We got McDonald's. Yeah. I had a magical.
I feel like you got McDonald's last time you went.
Yeah, we get McDonald's every time. This is the closest one.
Let me ask you something real quick before the joke. Nuggets? Do you get nuggets at McDonald's?
Yes. Everyone has to get nuggets.
What's your go-to sauce?
It has to be the tangy barbecue sauce.
Okay, the right answer was sweet and sour, but I'll let you. Okay, all right.
That was the right answer?
Yes.
Tangy barbecue sauce is the right answer.
No, it's actually sweet and sour.
Yeah.
They won't try anything else.
But I will do, I get both now.
Mm-hmm.
I make a little extra money, so I'll pay for more sauce.
Yeah. Okay.
McDonald's going to charge you.
You treat yourself.
I'm gonna treat you to some extra sauce. Yeah.
While y'all talking though, they have a buffalo sauce now, and it actually is really good. Yeah. So if you haven't tried the McDonald's buffalo sauce, get that next time.
I didn't try it. I don't do that.
Yeah, me either. Yeah, it's McDonald's. You got to stick to what you know. But yeah. Your dad eats the McRib, so.
I do.
You can try to make me do it, but I won't.
Okay. Yeah, because you shouldn't.
Can make me do anything. It's a free country.
Stand firm.
Yeah.
What do you have for us, Sophie? I feel like I'm on a joke journey, and I know the answer to this one.
Okay. Today I started an argument with Ollie while riding an elevator. I was wrong on so many levels.
Touche. I like that.
Touche.
Yeah, I like that.
You guys know I'll be here all week with my McDonald's. Tangy barbecue sauce is the better one. Goodbye.
Okay. Yeah. You almost said buffalo, by the way. Buffalo. Oh, be hitting, man. Hey, Riza, this one of the shirts from the. Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. How you like it? I like it.
Yeah. That's one of ours?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It doesn't say three brothers or anything, but it's on our site. Yeah. Yeah, it says walk with kings, but don't lose the common touch. So anybody out there, if you ever had to learn if or read if by Rudyard Kipling, that's what it comes from.
That would have been a dope clapback for Obama when they tried to make fun of his community organizing.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been a nice little retort. Oh, man. I don't even know if I have a question, man. So one of y'all go first.
I think I went first last week. So Rise.
All right. I got it.
Jump on it.
So again, me being on social media, always seeing all these posts and everything. And I like to kind of stay current and make sure we have something to talk about that's new because a lot of these podcasts out there that y'all be listening to, they talk about the same thing every time. It's relationship. So we try to do something a little different. But I'm going to talk about relationship today. I want to know from you brothers, is being afraid to love someone the same as not loving them? Like, if you love somebody, can you be in love with them and be afraid to love them at the same time?
Can you be in love with someone and be afraid to love them at the same time?
Yeah, because there's a post out there that's the only thing that came in the post. It just says, is being afraid to love someone the same as not loving them?
I don't know. Because, I mean, you can be in that relationship or with somebody and love them and still be scared, you know, and that might come from insecurities, past relationships, knowing yourself. Maybe you've hurt people before. I think you can't help who you love. You know, I think the world will be a lot easier if you can help who you love. So I don't think not being afraid is one thing and just not loving somebody, because there's people who are in relationships and feel like they should love this person, right? Like, man, I have a good one. She's a good girl. He's a good dude. What's wrong with me? Like, why don't I love her? Why don't I love him? But you're still there because you're hoping that you will eventually love that person, you know, or try to figure out, you know, what's wrong with you, or going through the motions because I would be stupid to let this go because it's such a great woman or a great man. You know, maybe I'm misunderstanding where they're going with it.
It kind of reminds me of a thin line between love and hate. And when she was afraid to love Martin's character because she had been hurt so many times, but she was already allowing herself to be in love with him, going horseback riding, sharing all these special moments. And then when she finally invites him to her house and they have sex and stuff, she's like, you know, I've been hurt before. She's trying to let that wall down to open up herself to love him. That's the only thing I could think of with that. I never know. See, being in love and loving someone are so close. Like, I know they're different, but I never know if I have the correct definition. I feel like being in love with someone is temporary. I think it's just one of those, you know, because I feel like with my wife, there are just different phases throughout our marriage and relationship where I've just been like in love with her all over again, to where it's almost like it's a reset has been hit and things like that. But it doesn't last forever. Like, it eventually gets back to, you know, I love her, but she goes to work, I go to work, I come home, you know, we spend time with one another. But it's not that teenage butterflies in your stomach type feeling. So I always feel like, and I don't even know if that's right or wrong, but I always feel like in love with someone is kind of like that, versus love is just that steady everyday foundation that just gets you through everything. So I think to give you an answer, what Fur said, that yes, it's possible to, I think your question was, can you be in love with someone without loving them? Yes. Rare, but yes.
So it was funny, yeah, as you explained, especially for as you kind of went through and you explained it, you were saying they were scared, but they were talking themselves into loving each other. They were trying to amp themselves up to love that person. They were saying, I should love this person because they're such a good person, everything like that. That kind of supports the negative side of it, where it says, if you're still scared, are you actually in love with that person? Or have you, you know, is it that you will stop being scared? That's when you actually love that person, when you're not scared anymore.
Love is scary, though. It can be scary. So I don't think it has to be that. I don't think you can fight tooth and nail to not feel this way about somebody. Fear, logic, whatever, is like, man, I just... And still do it, you know. Like Byron said, old girl from Thin Line, tried her hardest not to love Martin's character. So I just, so your question is restate your question.
So I'm trying to kind of form a question from the statement, right? And so the statement is being afraid to love someone the same as not loving them. And so that's why in question form, I'm saying, can you love someone and still be afraid to love them?
You know what, though? Isn't that almost every situation when you get ready to love somebody?
Yeah. So, yeah, when you put it that way, yeah. I think, because I thought you initially, like, is it the same as, you know, but yeah, like, you know me, I was a avoider of relationships. Like, I fought it.
That's actually like the beauty and the tragedy of loving somebody, because you're allowing yourself to be vulnerable. You're putting your heart out there and say, hey, I'm opening myself up to you. You now have the power to hurt me, or, you know what I mean? Like, or love me. Like, that's the beauty and tragedy of it. So there is some inherent fear with loving someone.
I agree with you. I think that's the beauty of love. Of the challenge or the downside is the people who easily fall in love. That's the danger, you know? And so, and from what I've seen, a lot of times those people are hurt easily because they're looking to fall in love. They're searching for that, while other people maybe be a little more hesitant or cautious for that. So it's the, you know, I feel like every rom-com, like, they fight tooth and nail. Somebody just got out of a relationship not to fall back in love. You know, I'm not trying to be in a relationship right now. I'm just trying to find myself. And, you know, like I said, you can't help who you love. And so in your situation, talking to me about being scared or fearful, the question is, what do you do with that fear? I think that's the question, because there's people who, because of their fear or whatever, they sabotage relationships. Right. And then you have people who take that fear and try to conquer. It's like, you know what? Why do I feel this way? Why am I scared to love her? You know, this is different. I don't know. She caught me off guard. Like, I think she's a great example. Like, in my mind, there's no reason, no way I'm gonna fall for this young 21-year-old girl who's still in college, still has experienced life, because I'm so old and mature. I'm 27, 28. And, you know, I was scared that I was falling for her. Like, you know, because I'm like, man, this is probably not going to end well. I might hurt her. She's so young. She's, you know, she might just turn around and just, you know, want to walk away. We used to joke about that, right? You know? Mm-hmm. You know, like, man, Z and Jen just gonna realize that they're young and hot and just wake up one day and leave, you know, because, you know, you were scared to love. And you, I mean, that's fear. You can be in love or love somebody and still be scared. Definitely.
Yeah. I agree. I looked at that and I just instantly, when I looked at it, I was like, that makes no sense. For all the reasons you guys just said, it's like, I can be scared and me loving you is what gets me past that, right? Or I push through it, or it's like, I can be scared with everybody and I love you, so now I'm getting past it. And I'm like you said, Buff, I'm opening myself up, so I'm constantly scared, because the more I love you, the more I can get hurt. So I'm more scared every time. You know, or as we get more serious, I'm more scared. You know, all of us got married, right? And you walking down that aisle, you were scared as shit, right? Like, you were scared saying, I do. Like, it's a big deal. And so I think that whoever wrote that hasn't really been in love to the point where they're like, I'm so in love that I'm scared. Like, I'm scared I'm going to lose you. I'm scared that you're going to hurt me. I'm scared to love because of all the downside that comes from it. So I definitely think they can exist at the same time. I really feel like they do exist at the same time. And the more you love, the more scared you are of loving and getting more and more serious.
Not bad. It took us a minute to get a hang of, but I think we got it. I think we got it. So I actually want to switch to some politics for a second, but if you guys don't mind.
Oh, of course.
So, you know, we've talked a couple of times about how some Democratic, actually a lot of Democratic voters are worried about Joe Biden's age. Do you think the Democratic Party should have a primary with Biden and, you know, two or three other candidates where they have a couple of debates and let the Democratic voters decide who they want their nominee to be? Or do you feel like that just only weakens the current president? So do we gamble and get a so-called better candidate that everybody will be more enthusiastic to get behind? Or do we just roll the dice on the incumbent?
There's only one way that works. Is if Biden loses the primary.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Biden wins the primary, any Republican candidate worth his weight in gold is going to attack that. Like, your own party
doesn't want you to be the president.
Put you on a chopping block. Right. Why is that? Are you unfit? Like, why are you the most powerful? I don't know enough political history. Has that happened before?
Kennedy, he primaried, what's the Sunday school teacher name from Atlanta? Jimmy Carter. Kennedy primaried Carter.
But okay. Kennedy won that primary.
No. Ted Kennedy, not John.
Oh, okay. Ted. Okay.
And so,
but like you say, Ferg, Carter got washed. He lost to was it Reagan? I think it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he lost. So.
Yeah. I mean, because it's like, why should the country put their faith in you if your own party doesn't have their faith in you? You know, you just told me that's only happened one time before. This is not the norm. I don't know how you spin that.
Yeah. I think the only way that, like you say, the only way it'll work is if he loses, right? I mean, and somebody else ends up with the nod. The party would have to know he was going to lose. And ultimately, you still walk away with a weaker candidate because they have to attack each other, right? They have to put each other down a little bit in order to, you know, go after and get the votes for the nomination. So I definitely don't think it's a good idea when you talk about the general election, because like you said, Ferg, any Republicans going to just, that you're just building talking points for them. Right. The gotcha moments and everything like that. And I mean, you're making them take positions that they may not usually take, but because they got to out left the person, right, that it makes it harder for them to pivot back to the middle and get those Republicans or those independents that might swing back over for the Democrats. It makes no sense politically to have a primary with a sitting incumbent president. That now, that's why I remember a couple episodes ago, I was hoping is that he waits so late that they don't have a chance for a primary, and then they get to name somebody else. Because if they do that, you don't have to worry about it. I know the voters might be like, well, we didn't get a chance to have a say, but at that point it's Kamala, she's going to be the nominee, and then we got to go with it and roll with it. That is my hope, is that he just waits until after a primary. But no way, shape, or form would you want a primary before. And at this point, the primary season's already heated up. I don't even know if they want to try to ramp up a primary, have debates and all that stuff before. I'd much rather see more town halls. I think that's what Joe Biden does need to primary and get out more, have some town halls and everything, and get his voice out. Because I know he's head down trying to get the work done, but the problem is all the Republicans are sucking up all the air and people are looking at them and they're not looking at Joe. Because he's quietly doing the work, and he needs to be much, much better at selling what he's doing and everything on bigger stages than his, hey, I'm doing my media thing every once in a while. He needs to go out on CNN, on MSNBC. I don't care if he gets on Fox News every once in a while and say some stuff and do some town halls, do some stuff that actually gets an eye on him for 30 minutes or an hour. Problem? Can he do that though?
That's the question. You talking about old Joe? Papa Joe? Like, the thing about it is he needs to be sitting down, taking his shots, eating his vitamins and everything. He doesn't need to waste any energy right now. And I feel like under normal circumstances, that would be a good strategy. But any sign of weakness, if he does a 20 city tour, whatever, if he looks weak in any of those two cities, that's just fodder.
Yeah,
and well, it's like Trump.
I wouldn't want him to do that, but it could be something like a fireside chat with, you know, somebody, and so literally he's sitting down in a chair, kind of talking or whatever. And I probably wouldn't do it live either. I probably script it and stage it. Yeah. But he needs to have that where it's a Joe Biden special. You know what I mean? Something he needs something though.
He's not. You know, and that's my thing. I'm almost like Trump not doing the debate. You know,
there's no upside. There's not a lot of upside to him doing anything. Yeah, so I can see that.
I won't even waste my time with my answer because I didn't know what my answer would be until Ferg answered, and I think you said it perfectly. But there is an author of the new book, The Last Politician. His name is Frank Foer. And just like you said, Rozzy, you was wondering, is it too late for him to step down? This author believes that Biden, he strongly believes that Biden will announce sometime in August that he's not going to run, but it'll be too late. I mean, with the election to be what, a couple of months from there, like that'll be too late. But he still believes that Biden will step down, staff writer for The Atlantic. I don't see it happening. I think we've passed that window. The best time for Biden to have done this was after they overperformed in the midterm. An incumbent president that gained a seat in the Senate and barely lost the House, that almost never happens. That was a time for him to flex and say, I'm leaving it in good hands and things like that. But good answers.
What would have happened with that though, if he had done that right after the midterms, that would have kicked off a primary. It would have kicked off, you know, the Republicans going after Kamala, going after whoever's the front runner of the primaries. Right now, all eyes are on Joe, right? And they're attacking Joe. And so it keeps Kamala out of the discourse. And if he does drop out later on, now they got to shift focus and they got to be like, well, let's talk about her. And it doesn't, you know, they don't have 9 months, 10 months to just pound at her, right? So that's all Ferg's, I'm hoping for.
Ferg senator thinks that they're going to bring Michelle Obama in. He thinks Biden is going to step down too. And he said they're going to get their secret weapon in. And me and Cruz, we agree on that. I do think Michelle Obama that's the one option that Republicans can't. They cannot. I know they cannot. They cannot win against her. I'm telling you.
She's everything Hillary wanted to be. Without the track record. Yeah. Super
Y'all
intelligent.
Think black people showed up for Barack.
Man, I'd get on the campaign trail.
Everybody's showing up for
and
her.
Michelle, we trust.
So yeah, she definitely is, man. What happened at the CBC? Because didn't we just come out of the CBC weekend? Anything, you know, pop off there you heard of?
I ain't heard about them. They okay. From what I know, they just do a lot of partying that weekend.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think we should partake next year, by the way, too.
We should. Yeah, Let us know about like when it is, what events
same time,
or whatever.
This like okay. third weekend in September. So yeah, let's plan that.
All right, let's go.
All right. Got something for
So my question, and it might be short because I just want more clarity. Byron, on our last show, you talked about guys stop being rapey. And so you gave an example on probably, like, I guess, scenarios that women might deal with. Guy, shawty, come here for a sec. What's your name? Her, oh, I'm good. I'm not interested, guy. But I stop right there, fellas. Let her be. guy. Example number two. Excuse me, I just want to tell you, you're gorgeous. Thank you. Guy, you mind if I get your number and take you out to dinner one day? Her. No thanks, I appreciate it, but I'm seeing someone. Guy, but... Buff?
Stop right there.
Guy, baby, what's your name? Her. Insert name here. Guy, nice to meet you, young lady. I was wondering if I get your number and call or text you later on. Her, no, I'm not interested. Guy, what you mean you're not interested?
It's not right there.
Okay. So, I'm going to keep reading. We are pro shoot your shot, but never at the expense of making her feel threatened or in danger. Don't follow her to a car. It doesn't need to turn into a debate. If you feel like you're the great guy she's missing out on, cool. Let her miss out. It shouldn't take convincing. She's not obligated to give you her name, number, or answer your questions. Let her be. Shooters shoot, but when they miss, they wait until another/different opportunity comes and shoots again. They don't stand there and argue with the basket over a missed shot. You missed it. Let it go. Stop being rapey.
All right. I just want to say that was off the top of the dome. And while that may not be perfect, I literally just typed that without any backspace.
Yeah. Sure. You're good. We all get it. So my question is, first of all, when you showed me the video, because I had somebody call me and they were like, well, you know, he hated that they used the word rapey because it was more so like all guys aren't rapey, and you know, it makes it seem like it's all men, you know, and you're generalizing. And I'm like, dude, I understand what you're saying, but you gotta watch the video. And when I sent him the video, he's like, yeah, there's no excuse for that. Like that is on a whole nother that video is on a whole nother level of, because when I saw the video, and I think we posted it, right?
Yeah. Well, we just posted like a steal of it. We didn't post a video.
We need to post a video.
Okay.
Because that video made me think of every woman I know and love in that situation. And I was scared for them and afraid for them. And I just thought about the privilege I have as a man not to worry about certain things like that, you know. So, but this leads to my question. You were saying stop right there. You don't need convincing. But, and maybe I'm going to learn from this conversation. It doesn't really matter because I'm out the game. What's the difference in being convincing? And like she's playing hard to get. I feel like that's still a tactic that women do. They don't, I don't know. But I'm not a heartthrob like you, Buff, where, you know, you say, hey, and, you know, chicks like, here's my number. You know, I think most chicks, if a guy initially shows interest, she has to kind of play that little song and dance. So in some of these instances, like, you know, as soon as she says she's not interested, you walk away. Or how do you find that balance where it's, hey, you know, she's playing hard to get, you know, maybe she gets hit on so much that, you know, I am a little different. I do really like her and I want to see, or I'm interested in her and I want to see where this can go. Is it one and done? Is it three strikes and you're out? You know, what are the rules? You know,
what is it in sales? They say you don't stop until you get three no's.
Yeah, and the thing about it, I'm in sales, and part of what you learn is people are innately they respond with no. Like if somebody called you today, say, "Hey, sir, my name is John with Toyota, and we have a very good deal on our new upcoming SUV, the Sentry." Like, nah, I'm good. Like, you don't even need to know the details of it. Like, in your mind, you automatically say no. So people are conditioned to say no. And maybe in the dating world, I feel like most women are conditioned to say no or play it a little hard to get, you know, like they're not going to just give their name and number to the first guy in that very moment. You kind of have to sell yourself a little bit.
So, good question. First off, let me say I'm not a heartthrob. Let's get that out the way. I do want to also acknowledge Porsche's response, because I think you kind of partially asked this question on the post, and she was like, you don't want someone that plays games like that. So, but I want to elaborate on that, and I'm no longer speaking for her. I just know that's how she answered it. I think for the most part, women in general are hit on so much that when a guy that they feel like they may be interested in approaches them in a gentleman way, in a way that they, you know, appreciate, not like, you know, God, shorty with the fat ass, come here, but like they're respectable with it. If she knows that there's a possibility she is interested in him, she is going to at least have some type of conversation with him to see where it goes. See if he F's it up. She's not like, if a woman like Orazio is a ladies man. So when Orazio approaches a woman, okay, and that woman knows she's interested in him, she's going to hear him out, see what he has to say, make sure he doesn't say anything stupid, eventually give him her number. She's not going to see Rizzy, know she's interested in him. He approaches her in a respectful way, and she says, no, 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 and walks off, and like in some movies, say, man, I hope he tries again. I hope he tries again. No, I think a woman playing hard to get is, yeah, she'll give you her number or whatever. She'll conversate with you. But as far as like when she allows you access to her personal space, to her body, or things like that, that's not necessarily playing hard to get. That's just like, you know, I guess you can call it playing hard to get, but it's definitely like making sure that she is being selective in who she chooses to go further with.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Ferg. You want to rebut?
Yeah, no, go.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, never have I ever walked up on a lady and she gave me the, no, I got a boyfriend, no, or whatever. And then eventually I wore her down and, you know, now she wants to give me the number. Like, that just doesn't work, right? I've had where, you know, they're not interested right then, and we bump into each other a couple more times. But like Buff said, stop right there. Usually what happens is if they told me no, they weren't interested, I stop with the innuendo, the Adam, you know, that like that. We're friends at that point. Like I'm treating you like one of the guys, right? And I'm talking to you like that or whatever. And you need to initiate, or you need to give me something that I need to reinitiate and reengage on that level. Like that's the difference. And so if it is, they're playing hard to get, for what happens is the ball's back in their court and you still need to back off. You still need to stop. There is no reason to continue on if they gave you a flat out no. Now, like I've had situations where I'm like, hey, I want to get to know you. And they're like, hey, I'm not getting to know anybody right now. And I'm like, all right, cool. You know, I'll give them some time. You know, I'll go back down to court and, you know, come back in 3 months, 6 months. And be like, yo, you know, I'm back out here. You know, still single. You're still trying to do, you know, your own thing and just check in. But again, that's very, very different than right there. I'm blocking their way. I won't let them leave. I'm trying to keep them at the bar, you know, or even I'm in their DM and I got 17 messages and all I get is the little like or the little heart or the little laugh and no response. Like at some point you just got to be like, all right, they're not interested. They're not into me. So no, I don't think there's ever a situation where you just have to persist constantly to wear somebody down. You know, that I think is, it is pretty rapey. I mean, from an HR perspective, it is sexual harassment. Actually, it's creating a hostile, if we were in the workplace, it's creating a hostile work environment. Like that woman can't move freely without being hit on by you, even though she said she's not really into you. So, guys, take our advice. Stop. Once they say no, once they say they got a boyfriend, once they say that they're not interested, hell, for me, if they semi look interested, but I'm still not feeling enough of it, I'd be like, you know what? I'm done. Like, so I'm even more on the I'll just give up. Like, and going back to that, our initial, our other question where we're like, we want to be chased. That's what I mean by I want to be chased. I want to know that you're interested in me. I don't want to have to guess about it. And so if there is any way that I'm guessing that you're into me, I'm probably going to give up.
You want some good morning texts?
I do want some good morning texts. Text me Grand sometimes.
Rising. Grand rising, King.
Now, I mean, y'all laugh, but ultimately, yes, I want, you know, sometimes I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I'm like hitting the door, getting the kids ready for school, getting them out or whatever. And if I got to get into the office that day, by the time I get them off to school and I'm in the car and I'm driving in, it might be 9:30, 10 o'clock before I think to text anybody good morning. So yeah, every once in a while, it's cool. You know, I'm driving in and I get a good morning text, or, you know, like, hey, have a good day today. That's cool. You know, that means that you're thinking about me just as much as I'm thinking about you. Because if not, then again, if I'm carrying the conversation, if I'm always the one reaching out, if I'm always the one, I do start feeling rapey. Like, I start feeling like I'm really trying way too hard if you're not really interacting with me and giving back that energy that I'm giving you. So
everybody's favorite black nerd, Steve Urkel, was rapey.
He was.
Well, he was, but Laura wasn't any better in that. When he moved on, then all of a sudden she ain't really like that too
much. But that was years later. We're saying, you know, he followed her, brought her roses, you know, but, you know, he did all the take away the laugh tracks and the comedy and the writers, you know, pretty creepy. And I guess the reason I ask, because when I think back, it's been a while since I've been out in these streets. It's when I thought about it, like, none of those lines sound like anything I would say. I was never like a person that came up with this, you know, Virgo, right? You know, like I didn't have a pickup line. I was a conversationalist. So I would create good conversation and then we would kind of get to know each other through that. But I never, I think, because I think about it, it's like, well, I feel like I didn't, within the first minute, I wasn't, you know, I feel like I kept the conversation going. So, but it was never, and Rizzi's been around me, it's like, I'm never like too upfront. Like I play the game to see where the conversation is going, first of all, to see if I'm even interested because you're cute, but your conversation skills are subpar and I'm over it. But
yeah, but I mean, you don't have time to have those conversations all the time, yeah. Right? Like if we're somewhere and I'm just like, you know, in Starbucks right before work or whatever, I don't have time to sit there and hold a 10-minute conversation with you. I'm just like, hey, you're cute. Can I get your number? I'll hit you up later as we, you know, leave Starbucks or whatever. Like it might be a little back and forth, but there's not a whole lot of time to really get into a deep conversation, like if you guys were at a bar or something like that. So, you know, sometimes you are going to shoot your shot and not have time to tee everything up. But again, she's either going to say yes or no, right? I mean, you walk up to her, hey, I'm Rizzi, I saw you over there ordering, or while we're waiting on our Starbucks, I might be like, hey, you're cute, yada, yada, yada. But when she gets her drink, I'm like, hey, can I get your number before you leave? Yes or no, you know? So, I mean, you just gotta, ultimately, man, you gotta learn to read the signs. And if they aren't giving you eye contact, if they're not answering, if they're being super short with the answers, you know, they keep walking and they don't stop when you try to talk to them, let it go. Just let them go, man. Cause oh, yeah. It's, you know, we were in Vegas. I remember I walked by the chick, like she was walking in the hotel and I like, start walking next to her and like, hey, I'm Rizzi, yada, yada, yada. And she kind of kept walking. I was like, well, I just turned around and came back to y'all. Like, she's not with it. So, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah. But you, I guess, fellas, know your strengths.
Yeah.
Know your strengths too. Like, if you ain't that guy that's just going, the coffee shop pickup guy, if you, you might have to play the long game, you know, the club might not be your pickup spot.
And I hate it sounding like, even, you know, I hate that he had the person that called you had to watch the video, and before he saw the video he felt like it was generalizing. But I guess for me, there's exceptions to everything. I just hate how in general our women have to go through all these hoops to tell a guy no. Like, give him a fake number, give him a fake name, tell him you got a boy, tell him you gay, like all that stuff. And for a lot of guys, it doesn't work. If you gay, oh, I can convert you. You got a man, you happy, I can make you happier. You know what I mean? Like, they have to, like, they, we have the luxury, like Ferg, you said, the male privilege, we had a luxury of telling the woman, now I'm good, I'm married, whatever. And that's it. Most women will let that go. Not men. Not some men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I think you got to understand it, and really, because, you know, even in that situation, I think men in the situation don't think about it. And part of it is we're taught. I mean, then, like I said, you look at shows like Family Matters, a lot of these rom-coms where, you know, the nerd or the guy that she didn't want gets the girl. You know, it's the, he wore it down because he's a good guy. You know, I'm not talking about the rapey, you know, cringe guy. It's just like, man, she deserves better, you know. And a lot of times they get friend zoned and all this stuff and it works out later on, but it's just still the, like the movie of old dude was standing out front of the girl's house with the boombox, and you know, it's all the 80s, teenage flicks and all that stuff. Like, people wore the good girl down.
Yeah. But I will say, in Steve's defense, Steve was probably the best you could, or he told the line of, I'ma wear you down, versus, like, because he wasn't intimidated, right? I don't think Laura ever felt like she had to say yes, right? She constantly would be like, no, Steve, you're not, you know, and that was it. Because I felt like Laura felt like she had the power in the relationship, and so she didn't feel as intimidated as some girls. Like, she didn't feel like she had to say yes to him. So there is a little bit of that, right? Like, yeah. If you are the good guy and you're like, she says I'm not interested, but you still send her some flowers every once in a while or whatever, be like, hey, I'm out here, I want you, I'm gonna keep coming at you. That's a little different.
I don't know. I think that's where it's dangerous, because if you don't see yourself as the threatening guy, even though she sees you as a threatening guy, it's like, dog, she says you feel like, she was like, you're stalking her and you're threat. If the two of us did the exact same thing, and for whatever reason she feels threatened by me, we did the exact same thing, what's the difference?
You're dark skin.
Yeah, that's it. and maybe that's it. You know, it's is it on me or you to decide if she's gonna be threatened by us if we're doing the exact same thing? Or should both of us just say no?
Yeah.
You know, it's...
Yeah. No, I mean, I definitely think it was too far, but I'm just, like, trying to think through it. It, to your point, is there a time that you could be persistent without being rapey? Like, is there a moment
your intent doesn't matter, because it's about her. Right? It's just that simple. Like, I'm pretty sure most guys that are listening to this or whatever don't feel like they're being rapey. It's on her to feel, just like in HR, you know, sexual harassment is about the way she feels. So it's, when she says, no, I'm not interested, you don't send her flowers. Freaking Love Jones, every black female's favorite movie, Lorenz Tate, super rapey.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he literally steals her address. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have women like, I want somebody to do that like that for me. I want that kind of love. They're confused. Like, she told him no several times, right? He sees her, steals her address. Greatest black love story ever. So when I say this, like, it's a freaking boomerang. Eddie Murphy with Jacqueline. Like, he was, she was giving him a little energy, but she said no several times. That scene when they were in New Orleans and he was trying to get his shit off. Sorry about that, Rizzy. You remember, like, he in the club doing it, and it's, but that's the kind of love I want. I want a man that goes above and beyond to prove his love for me. Like, let's call it what it is. A lot of this stuff is romanticized. And I'm not saying all these guys, because there are dudes that are just super mannish, super aggressive and stuff like that. Hey, shawty, you know, they gonna call out our name and all this stuff. Feels like, you know, they're top notch. You're a good guy, and a woman should, they feel entitled to your information or your time. And there's guys like, I really like her, and I'm gonna do whatever it takes to get her to notice me and be with me. But at the end of the day, all those guys, the answer when she says no the first time, he's supposed to walk away.
And even with Boomerang, that example, she actually gave him the time of day. Like, she came to his house, but she actually was watching the game. He wasn't expecting that. You know what I mean? Like, she attended the things he invited him to. He invited her to. She just didn't go all the way. So she gave him some entertainment. Was that
before or after the...
Nah, because remember, he invited her to, you know, he had set the mood and stuff, and she came over there, yeah. And she was like really watching the game. She,
I think that was that after New Orleans?
Nah, it was before.
Yeah. Okay. No, so. Good question though, man. I mean, it's a hard one to figure out. I mean, dating's not easy. I mean,
it's in today's world, it's not, right? It's when she says no, you know, it's no.
Let it go.
No means no. Mm-hmm. You know, all right, fellas, let's go ahead and close it on out.
I started off political. Well, my question was political. I'm going to end political, and basically, there's an idea, but there's like a bill floating around. So right now, our House of Representatives are not keeping up with our population. I think it's meant to be like one representative per 500,000. Citizens, and right now we're at one representative for every 750,000 citizens. So there's a bill somewhere in the House where they are thinking about trying to expand the House, and we go from 435 representatives to 585 representatives. Haven't heard a lot of talk about it, so it must not be getting a lot of traction yet, but our population is outpacing the amount of representatives we have. So just wanted to put that out there in case it becomes a big thing. You can say you heard it here first. And the other thing is, me and Rizzy, we talked about the show Succession, and it concluded a few months ago. Well, the real life version of that, Rupert Murdoch of News Corp, Fox News, as most of you know, finally at 92 years old, stepped down. And I just want to real quick, this loser, I usually say loser as affection. I don't mean that as an affection right now. This loser left a letter to his employees talking about how the people in power and the elites always want to silence us. Us? Dog, you worth $8 billion. You control one of the biggest media conglomerates in the world. What are you talking about us? You ain't us. You elite. So I thought that was like the audacity of people on the right. It just, the audacity, dog. It blows me sometimes. But it was just kind of cool to see him step down, because the show Succession was modeled after that. And his son, I forgot the son name that's taking him, but his son is going to run Fox News. And they say that he is more conservative than Rupert, but he's not into politics as much as his dad. So it'd kind of be interesting to see if Fox News makes any turn in the next few years.
Yeah, so I'm probably... Succession is a great show. I'm probably season 3 now.
Okay, so yeah, it's...
Yeah, it's starting to get good.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, that show makes me think... Z and I've had several conversations on... what do they call the term? Where they're too rich to understand the law, or...
Oh, where the kid tried to use it as a defense.
Yeah.
What was it? Affluenza or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the whole family is like, they just don't get it. Nobody gets it.
Yeah. None They're of so them. Out of touch. Yeah. So that's one thing I did like about Suits. Like, they were all rich, but they somewhat got it. Mm-hmm. You know. So, and then, you know, Mike came in and really kind of pulled him over. But yeah, it was, that's a good show. Anyway, I got two things. First off, we're getting into hoodie season. Fellas, hide your hoodies. Lay claims to them. Put your name on them. Something. Don't let these ladies steal your hoodies, bruhs. They're out there and they're trying to get us for our hoodies. So, ladies, keep your hands off.
No.
No means no. Yeah, when you tell them no, they need to stop right there. But I don't think they are. So anyway, keep watching hoodies. Secondly, I want to shout out, or I don't know. I don't even know if it's a shout out. So I don't know if you guys have heard, Minor High School band director was tased at the game. So Minor High School is a high school here in Birmingham, Alabama. And the band director ignored police officers as they tried to stop the band. They said, hey, you need to stop. We need to clear everything out. People aren't leaving as y'all play. Stop so we can get everybody out. He didn't do it. They said it again. The song ended and he said, take it from the top. And when he said, take it from the top, the police tased his ass. And you know what? I'm here for it. They should have tased his ass. Because they have been shooting outside of the football games. They've been doing all kind of stuff. Police officers stood there while they finished the game or while they finished the song. He basically, everybody's like, oh, well, he's a role model for the kids. They shouldn't have did that in front of the kids, yada, yada, yada. He also shouldn't have ignored the police officers and what they were telling him to do in front of those kids. He essentially challenged them, said he's going to do what he wanted to do, and he got tased. They didn't use lethal force. They did what they needed to do. They cleared out the game. Everybody lived to, you know, watch the next game and be able to play again next week. So I'm all for and support the Birmingham Police Department in this one. Need to learn how to listen and do what they tell you to do. So I'm on his side on that one. So I just want to throw that out there.
That's not the story I heard, but you're closer to it, so.
Oh, you heard something different? What'd you hear?
I heard that he was finishing up the song and the police officer didn't. So I don't know if you saw a video or you've got evidence.
Yeah, no, I know people that were there. So I've talked to a couple different people. But yeah, he essentially was like, they finished the song and they started playing it again.
I heard he said this is our last song and people were commenting saying they were there too. So I don't know. You know, it's always he said, she said. So hopefully they have it on video. Once again, you know, it is what it is. So for me, I think it's first of all, want to say shout out to the ladies that inspire you. And for all our Contentville listeners, thank you for sticking with us. To our usual listeners on all other podcast stations, hey man, thank you for rocking with us this long. It's been we're really at that 4 year
almost
mark.
4 years, yeah.
So we've been doing this for a while. So thank you guys for sticking with us. Real fast, want to say happy birthday to my beautiful wife Sabrina. We celebrated her birthday this weekend. We had a time in Houston, so. Happy birthday, babe. If you listen to this, know I love you. And with that being said, Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast, Six Rules of Podcast. Listen, like, share, subscribe, comment, and most importantly, listen again. Talk to you next week.